Hello and welcome back to the In the Money Media Final Answer Show. It is time to talk Kentucky Derby. We still have some people making their way back to their seats, getting drinks, etc., etc. So you know what? Rather than dive right into the handicapping, that gives me a perfect chance to do something I've been wanting to do on the show all night long, and that's talk a little bit of fashion. Michelle.
Wait, what, fashion?
Fashion, yeah, fashion. Michelle, who are you wearing tonight? Is that a Versace blouse? What are we looking at?
Yes, my blouse is actually by Kinchin for Old Smoke. I've been begging for a women's line, and they never come out with one. So I just have to keep wearing these mediums. This is the size JK wears also.
It looks very good on you. Now, speaking of fashion, you know, okay, Philip here, he's wearing the company colors. This show, of course, brought to you by TaylorMade Partnership, by...
And Philip, if you have some of that for me, I'd be happy to wear that too.
There you go, Medallion right. Racing. So he's representing the company, so he's off the hook for the golf shirt. You know, I dress for the occasion. I take this stuff seriously. The man to my right, though, okay, the shirt's cool. That's on brand. But what's stand up for a second.
Are you wearing underwear?
No, he's just shorts.
He's wearing shorts. The man is wearing our biggest event of the year by far, and the man turns up in shorts. People, this is what I have to deal with.
I just want to give you a TV secret, though. If you watch, you know, TVG and all those, a lot of those guys have on suits, and they are wearing shorts. If you're watching JK on Fox, he's actually wearing a shirt and undies. That's many times.
I'm relieved. Yeah. I'm relieved when you said they were wearing shorts. I thought that was going in a different direction.
No, they're wearing shorts, and JK wears undies. I've seen him when he has to go out for a potty break, his little tighty whities.
There's a lot to unpack here. First of all,
unless you're in JK's undies.
First of all, so there's a couple of TV tricks. One, I don't wear pants at home because you can't tell. The TV's from here. I also put my drink behind the camera so you can't ever see it. The second thing is I was going to wear jeans today. I was going to wear black jeans.
Much fancier than black shorts.
But I've been a little bit spoiled with my wonderful fiance who's here now, Jovanina Salivo. She packs all the stuff now, and I won't say that it's her fault that I don't have any black jeans. But
do you not like black jeans?
He's got it. Her
You're wearing black jeans.
You could try packing for yourself.
Yeah. Whoa. Well, I'm all for women packing, but are you wearing his black jeans right now? Is that the problem? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So now I have on shorts, but I'm happy to be here, and it's better than nothing.
Thus concludes the fashion portion of the Final Answer Show.
JK, wait. If I beat you in the Derby head-to-head, she wore like a blue pair of blue gold pants. I want you to wear those.
I'll wear them.
All right.
I don't even know who you like in the Derby, but we're going head-to-head for the blue pants.
You once refused to wear a romp him as part of a head-to-head bet with me. And then I saw you on the internet in photographs from South Beach a few months ago. We won't talk too much about that. Wearing a romp him. What happened? What changed?
I wasn't in South Beach. I was in Las Vegas.
Hey, what happens in Vegas stays
Inside
in Vegas.
All right. Thus now really concludes the fashion portion of the evening. We are going to dive into this pick five on Kentucky Derby Day. It starts in race number 8. 2:48 is the scheduled post time for the grade 1 Derby City Distaff. Fillies and mares 4 and up going 6-7 for furlongs. Excuse me on the dirt. My mouth words failing me at a key time here.
Just real quick. A little information. Our friend Marshall Graham is part owner in the One Lady Rocket. She's not going to run.
Okay, so you can take out the one. We have an early scratch there. You know what? I was going to throw it to Philip, but maybe he didn't know about that scratch. So instead, Jonathan, since you're aware of the scratch, we're going to start with you while everybody else scrambles and takes another look at this pace.
Is there a reason we started this late instead of going all, like, at least in race 7?
Pick 5, baby.
Well, yeah, we're just... For time
okay.
Jack Christopher is going to win the race before, so we can move on. Look, usually when I'm in Kentucky, I try to beat Wesley Ward just because he's overbet. You know, in Saratoga, Chad Brown's overbet. People will say that. They win a lot, so maybe it's not overbet. I just think there's value looking elsewhere. But I thought Kamari ran well last time. She went very fast early in that 7-furlong race in the Madison, a grade 1, over at Keeneland. We're in Lexington, so at Keeneland. I don't have to say it like that.
Around the corner.
I think she's going to run well here. And I like her. She's a talented racehorse. So I'll use her primarily. But Obligatory needs to be included. She's run well at Churchill. And then Belle's the one. Just one of those horses you kind of want to bend the knee to. Just a cool racehorse who shows up. She's run 23 times. She's won 11 times. And a lot of people in this room, I know that you guys and gals want to participate in racing and you own some horses. I would sign right now for a horse that would run 23 times and win 11 of them. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to give her a shout out. She's a really, really cool horse, and she loves it at Churchill as well.
Your bend the knee reference forces me to ask, Jonathan, which kingdom of Westeros do you most identify with?
Oh, I'm straight Winterfell, you know what I'm saying?
Philip, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think that's a huge scratch because I basically wanted to come in here and I was maybe going to single Obligatory. I just think, you know, first start as a four-year-old, she did it as easy as you could want. You know, she's won at Churchill. She's 2-for-2 at Churchill. She won the 8 Bells last year, but I think she needs pace to run at. And with Lady Rocket coming out, I think that's a pretty big scratch. I like Kamari also. I think getting reunited with Joel Rosario is probably a positive. I don't think she has to be on the lead. Like, I think last time, maybe, you know, they just felt like they had to go, but she was right there on the pace. They flew, like, 44-2 at Keeneland is very fast. And I don't think she needed that kind of trip. But I think with the scratch of Lady Rocket, you know, I think the three is like center aisle holds the keys to the race. She didn't break last time. She's a horse that's basically been on the lead or right there in her three previous starts, all of which were wins. And she just never ran a step after not breaking. But if she breaks well, I think she's going to get the lead. I think Kamari could just sit right off of her. And she would definitely be my top pick. Like I said, Obligatory is a must use. To me, she was going to be a single if Lady Rocket stayed in the race. I think Lady Rocket guaranteed a fast pace, but with her coming out, I think that's a pretty big scratch.
I'll chime in quick because we're so similar. I do think Kamari now looks like an excellent candidate to prove the best of speed. I'll be putting her on top. I respect Obligatory immensely. I will put Bells the one second, though, just off the trip angle, moving, I thought, a little bit early into that fast pace last time. Now second time off the layoff, I think she can reverse the form with She's the One. Nice Bruce Springsteen hunch play there. And then, of course, Obligatory, like we talked about, loves it around these parts, back in good form. Kamari, who is the forerunner. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah, Kamari's the four.
So we'll go 4, 6, and 5. Michelle, your thoughts?
I think you guys touched on the major ones, but I do want to throw in the California horse in there, the 7 Edgeway. She is coming off a lights-out performance in the Grade 3 Las Flores. She didn't beat any, like, great horses, per se, but everyone really thought highly of Private Mission for a long time. But you might have realized that she ran second in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint to eventual champion Cece, and she did beat Gamin in that particular outing. I thought she ran lights-out in there. I think that she's really versatile. She's fast. She runs well at 7 furlongs. I like a horse that kind of runs great at 7, and, you know, maybe she's just a tick behind that. But I like the fact that she has speed. Again, if it's wet, I feel like she could utilize that to her advantage. And she's run decently enough at Churchill. She was second in the Dogwood back in 2020. So I like Edgeway in here for John Sadler.
Race number 9 is the Grade 2 American Turf for these 3-year-old colts on the green going a mile and a 16th. JK, this is a race, I don't know about you, but from a few years back when we were playing some tickets together, I still have nightmares about a couple of the winners of this race. Is it going to be a nightmare or a dream scenario for us this time around?
It's so funny that you said that because I had just shown my fiance the picture of Arklow.
Yeah.
At the house, and she asked what that was about, and I was like, oh, that was a losing. I
just
lost.
Stay humble.
I lost $500,000 on that horse winning, and my friend, Elliot Honecker, who owned the horse, sent me the picture to troll me. It was this race.
Good Samaritan.
Yeah, he got beat. He beat Good Samaritan. I needed Good Samaritan. Thank you, Philip, for that. I appreciate it.
I didn't have $500,000, but I was. That was.
Oh, and then Maraud. Maraud got us in this race too.
You know, I love Maraud.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Baffert won like one of his only graded stakes on the grass with DeJour last year.
And I got beat in that race as well.
Yeah. So tell us your pick so we know who not to use.
There's two horses I like in here a lot. The 6 Portfolio Company and the 7 Side Dog. Both of them have won on off going. So less than firm grass. It's East Coast turf horses. They're both of them have shown a ton of talent. Obviously, Sidog being undefeated was very impressive in all three races. Portfolio Company, it's Chad Brown, it's the grass. I told you earlier, I think you can beat Chad. I don't think you wanted to do that here. But I do need my friend, Michelle, you to help us out with the five because, like Pete mentioned, her podcast, Owner's Box, I have a feeling she can tell me something about this West Coast turf horse.
You mean
coming
my top
east.
Selection in here, Valnikov?
Oh, I didn't know
That's
that. I
one.
Really did not know that, but yes. So I'm going to use the 5, 6, and the 7, but I'll let Michelle tell you why.
Yeah, Michelle, go on with it.
I like Valnikov in here. You know, his stateside debut going a mile. I thought he ran really well. I know it looks like a very short field, and it was, but it actually had good talent level for the particular race that it was. The horse that beat him, Sumter, is a really nice Richard Mandela horse. And the horse that finished third, Handy Dandy, has run seconds and thirds in several stakes. So he really suits at this level. I feel like they could have gone a little bit faster up front for him. Sumter kind of set the pace there, and then he just wasn't able to reel him in. But the kick this horse showed late on to go into relatively soft fractions, I thought was extremely impressive off of the bench like that. I think he can only leap forward. They're bringing him out here. You can see he's already run over soft ground, and he's been effective from that particular angle as well. I know Billy is looking forward to seeing Valnikov, and he is my top pick.
There you go, Little Red Feather Racing, Michelle's co-host on the Owner's Box, for those not knowing what we were yapping about.
Hold on, just so you know, like, she's her co-host on the podcast. So her picking that horse like that makes me feel like she knows something that we don't know.
I told you everything I know.
That was a pretty good download. I don't think she holds back.
I like the two also. I like the two main event for George Weaver. Really hasn't done anything wrong since coming onto the grass. So and should be a pace presence. I like that horse as well. Like, I'm not going to single Belnikov, but he's my top pick.
If you know, if you spend any time with Michelle, keeping secrets, that's not really your thing, is it, Michelle?
That's so not nice.
You're usually
no one here
us.
Is going to tell me
I
a secret
take
now.
A little punch back, that's all.
If anyone wants to come tell me a secret, I won't tell Pete.
I just meant you weren't holding anything back about the horse. Anyway.
No. I don't keep any racing secrets close to the chest.
There you go. I'm so similar to everything you guys have said. I'll just go real quick. I put Sidog on top, the 7. Flow Move Up coming out of the last race for me. Second time layoff. Should get a setup. I'm with you on Portfolio Company, JK. I'm guessing this one comes back fully formed, and if you look at those figures running last year, project some improvement for age and consider the trip. And then I think Balnikov off the late kick that we've seen there, 7-6-5 for me. Philip, your thoughts?
Yeah, I hate to be boring. I mean, I like Sidog quite a bit. I thought last race was pretty impressive. There was no pace on, and he ran well. He also showed that with no pace, he could be a little bit closer. He doesn't have to just be all the way out. Graham has been – his horses have been running really well recently, and I want to be pretty heavily weighted into him. I think I would only go stretch out to the 5 or the 6 as the two alternatives. I think there's a fair amount of speed in here. There could be. You got Main Event has some speed. Smoke and Tea has shown speed in the past. And you got the two horses to the outside. So I think there actually could be a little bit of pace. And I have Sidog would be one of my stronger opinions of the weekend.
And I just want to reiterate, I think when you look at these two races, the American Turf, which is the 3-year-old boys race, and the Edgewood, the 3-year-old girls race, the Phillies race, I think it's two separate situations. I have no idea in the other race. I'll probably be very, very upset because I'm going to be dead in everything. The 5, 6, or 7 don't win this race.
Yeah. I would basically agree. I think in the other race, I picked a 10-to-1 shot. I think in here, it feels like there's actually some separation from the top horses as opposed to a bunch of horses that are pretty similar.
Which I think is important, and not to soapbox. I just think it's, like, you know, horse players always ask me, like, when I see that, what should I do? Just have a strong opinion and know what you don't know. If you don't have an opinion in a race, then spread. You don't have to be a hero. And so many people feel like you need to know who's going to win a race. There's so many races that I don't know who's going to win. And the next one's a great example. I don't know. I think two horses are the most likely winners, and I will bet according to that. But no one's going to, except for Pete, hold my feet to the fire to make me pick one.
We'll pivot to this race, and we'll come back to the idea of betting strategy on big days at the end, because we got a good question about it. But I will say this, JK, just to not commit a host fail, I'll say you can spread or you can pass. I mean, that's one of the special things about horse racing and this game and why it's such a great gambling game. There's no ante. You can always just decide to play the pick three instead of the pick five and keep yourself out of trouble. But hey, if you don't like a favorite and you want to spread, that's also a valid approach.
Yeah, someone I was bored in an Uber and today, and I texted, like, asked me questions, and someone asked, I have a bankroll of however much money. Should I spread it out over all of the pick fives?
JK said, hell no.
No. Find the sequence where you have the best opinion and bet your money there and just root in the other races. So often you feel like you have to bet every race. You don't. Thank God we don't have an ADW sponsor. You don't
have
to do that.
That's right. No, they agree too. They want to keep you in action. All right, race 10, grade 1 Churchill Downs. JK, you've already sort of tipped your hand about having a strong opinion in this race, and it gives me an opportunity to make fun of you, because I do think we're going to have a very, very large favorite here in the form of number 3, Jackie's Warrior. And, you know, as a student of past performances myself, I was going to say you were probably just going to single the horse and move on with life. Doesn't sound like that's your approach. What's it going to be?
No, I'll be quick. I'm going to use two horses equally. I'm going to use the horse I thought was going to win the Breeders' Cup Sprint in Jackie's Warrior, and I'm going to use the horse that won the Breeders' Cup Sprint in Aloha West. I got second in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. It would not have happened if it wasn't for Aloha West's photo. Nasty photo. Nasty.
You would have won then if he had lost?
No. I would have been done. I got second. I would have.
Yeah, for those of you that were in the betting syndicate last year, this horse helped us stay alive in the pick six. But if Dr. Shivel would have won, we would have had a $2,500 double to Space Blues, and we had $2,000 to win. So
selfishly, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, it was dirty. It was dirty both ways. What I would have said at the time when I thought Dunbar Road won the distaff, I was like, oh, we're in great shape because we're still alive.
Still don't know how she didn't win that photo. Anyway, Philip, who wins this one?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think this is a race. Like, I have a stronger opinion, so I want to get alive to a couple horses, and it would be Jackie's Warrior, Reinvestment Risk, and Prevalence. Prevalence, I'm just like a sucker for this horse. He looked like an absolute monster early in his career. It just didn't work out. He was kind of a different animal. But I think they've kept him at one turn. His last two races have been very good. I don't ultimately know how good the field was in the Commonwealth. This is a significant step up. But he just feels like one of those horses that kind of figured out what he wants to do. As a 4-year-old, he's been a lot better now. Again, he has to improve, but I think he's capable of that. And I think he could end up getting a really good trip. If Reinvestment Risk says, hey, I can't let Jackie's Warrior get loose, they put some pressure. I think he could be sitting in that next flight just off of him. And I think that's something JK does a lot. He'll talk about, you know, the speed and then the best closer, which he's basically doing there. He's going to take Jackie's Warrior and Aloha West. But I think this horse is going to sit a really good trip. It's just going to be a question of if he's good enough.
One of these races, I'll have a horse to talk about that nobody else has talked about. But it will not be this race. I think Jackie's Warrior is just going to get such a great setup. I'll be pressing him. I do think Prevalence is interesting. Just gotten really good, sharp, in form. I agree with Philip. If something goes wrong with the top one, Prevalence is going to trip out beautifully. And if those two end up going hammer and tongs and ding-donging, it's JK's other horse, Aloha West, the BC Sprint winner, who clearly looks the best closer. Michelle, what do you think is going to happen in here?
I like the two obvious horses. If I'm going to use one horse underneath, it's the 5, Reinvestment Risk for Chad Brown, coming off a runner-up effort in the Carter. I think he likes 7. He was behind Jackie's Warrior last year running, or 2 years ago running in 7. That was his second start off the break. We go third start off the layoff, which is one of my favorite forum angles, and I think he should sit a good trip, so I'm going to use him underneath.
The penultimate race we're going to talk about on this show is the Grade 1 Turf Classic, going a mile and an eighth on the turf. Michelle, we're going to keep it with you for your thoughts on this one.
Oh, I'm going to have to be, like, chalky in this. I like the Chad Brown runners in here. I like the 4, Tribhuvan. Is that right?
Tribhuvan, I would have said, but it's close enough.
I've heard Tribhuvan, but I don't. But I
really?
No.
All right. Oh, so the 4, the more outside of the 2 Chad Brown horses right there in the middle. I like him because he has speed. You know, he was a complete dud in the Breeders' Cup turf, but
I'm okay with that. Prior to that, he ran a whole bunch of good races, strutting together. He is getting the turn back in distance, which I think is actually going to suit him really well, because I think he ran good races going the mile and a 16th, a mile and an eighth. Like, this could just be a middle distance horse and not necessarily a marathoner, even though he did win the United Nations at the mile and 3/8. I think overall the little bit shorter distance suits him and his running style, so I'm going to use him as my top selection. I don't know if I have anybody that's really like a crazy horse in here. Looking at it, I thought it was between him and his stablemate Public Sector. If I was going to throw one long shot in, for me it would be the 7 Cavalry Charge for Dallas Stewart. He's coming off a third place finish behind 2 Emmys last time out. He was a winner 2 back going the 9 furlongs. He's won on yielding ground before, so I like that about him. I just don't think he's quick enough to keep up on from the front, so he's going to have to sit behind. I feel like he's a little one-paced, so wherever he starts running is kind of where he finishes. He doesn't have that big closing kick at the end, so if I was going to use someone underneath at a price, it would be the 7.
JK, are you team Chad Brown in here? And if so, which of the 3 do you prefer?
It's a turf race. It's a great one. You kind of have to be team Chad. Let me say, I'm spreading in here, and I know I'm just being honest. This is the honest to God truth. I'm spreading in this race. I have had strong opinions in this race in the past. I loved Yoshida. Bricks and Mortar couldn't lose. And in fact, I've made lifelong friends because of Divisadero in this race. And he's one of them sitting over here. Jake was like, who do you like? I was like, Divisadero. Friends ever since.
Most famous horse in podcast history. Actually, that was 2 of the most famous horses in podcast history between Divisadero and Yoshida, both of whom we talked about since their maiden wins.
Like, Ivar can absolutely win. I like the inside draw. You know, in these turf races, I think if you're tactical, you can stay inside, save ground. It makes a difference when there's a bunch of really good animals. You got to use both Chads. Tribhuvan is a horse that I think is probably better going longer. But I said that before Michelle started talking, and now I'm feeling insecure about that opinion. I think that he is tactical. He'll find the front. He'll be aggressively ridden by Manny Franco, and it's possible he can win. I'm going to use the 5 and 6 as well, Mirror Mission. I told you I'm spreading. I'm just telling you why, and you can make your own decisions. I'm going to use the 5, Mirror Mission, as well, who I thought last 2 races were good at Keeneland and at Gulfstream. Has won on Not Firm before. Has tried it 4 times, won twice. And then the 8 I'm going to use as well, who I thought ran well for Chad, closing into a slow pace. It's my favorite angle in turf racing with all the video we watch, all the workouts, all the speed figures. The one thing I think gets lost in turf racing is closing into a slow pace, because the final time will always be slow in a slowly run race. You're never going to have a fast time at the end. If you let Usain Bolt walk for 3 steps, he'll never run 9 flat. Can't happen. He can't make up that extra ground.
Only so fast you can go.
And so the final time is always going to be a little bit slower. The figure's going to be slower. But Usain Bolt could have done something special within that little time that he was given. And I think that happens in turf races a lot of times, where the figure's slow, but what happened in the middle of the race is special. And I think I think that horse is all right. So I'm spreading in this race. I just don't have a strong opinion. But I do have a strong opinion in a minute.
We'll get there.
That was a really great explanation. I'm going to use that on air.
Yeah, steal it. Yeah, absolutely.
I better be on the bottom.
I'm like a wise guy told me once.
JK, it better be on the bottom.
The Usain Bolt analogy comes courtesy of In the Money Media. Number 1, Ivar, for me, I just think looks like the fastest horse with the best form, well-drawn, and I think the race is going to be run to suit. I like Ivar quite a bit in here, and I agree with the Adamo idea. I thought ran really well last time under impossible circumstances. Should be tighter second time in North America, and is the giant flow move up, as JK so eloquently described. I'll use the 6, Sherl Spite, as well. This is a horse I've always liked. Should be positioned in front of the top 2 I'm using. Maybe it's one of these things where last time was the time you wanted Sherl Spite, but I still think this horse is interesting on figures and form. Philip, how do you see it?
All box, apparently, the way we're talking.
Yeah, I just hope I can get anywhere close to 9-2 on the 8 at Amo. I just thought the way that race played out, it was a slow pace. The horse has relatively good European form, has run, you know, well enough on a soft turf course. And I just thought it was like one of those races where Jose Ortiz is a great rider, but it was like, this horse has no shot. And then he just kept coming and coming and coming. You're like, it's unbelievable. He's going to get there. And then he ended up not getting there.
But to me, if this horse is anywhere, not, I'm just worried he could go off maybe favored, just the Chad steam and the Pratt steam. So, you know, I'd be focused on the five Mirror Mission underneath. I think the five and the six, if you look at kind of the profile of horses that win this race, they feel just like the progressive horses that are getting good, running their best races. I think those horses historically run well in this race. And so to me, I would be interested in those two underneath, but I'd be focusing most of my betting on the eight, assuming that he just doesn't take a ton of steam and get back down to 5-2 or something, which I don't think is an impossible scenario.
Okay, here it is, the part of the show that we've all been waiting for, and the part that will definitely bring in the most people on YouTube. So I'll
the Q&A?
That. No, not the Q&A, Michelle. We'll get there, though.
Everyone loves the Q&A,
right?
The Q&A
is fun. We're going to get there. But just want to let folks know who are watching, who are looking for more information, whether it's on races other than the ones we're covering here, or just deeper and more information, you do have the opportunity to check out what we've got going on over at In the Money Plus, inthemoneypodcast.com/plus to check that out. We've also got a free newsletter, which is a great way to keep track of all the content we've got going, including Michelle's show, The Owner's Box. Sign up for that, inthemoneypodcast.com/email. Also, a little bit of housekeeping for people in the room, and I'm going to say this now so I don't forget. Just want to let everybody know that you can take a Derby or Oaks glass from the table when you leave here tonight. So don't
but not
sleep.
Both?
Don't sleep on that. It says or. I assume it's and or.
We'll I'm taking both.
Whatever's there, you can just share with the other guests.
So here we go. We're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby. My thought on, and then we'll do a little Q&A at the end for Michelle's benefit. I think we just do this in a free-flowing way. I don't want it to be as rote as we go down and hit different horses. Though Michelle has a great gimmick on Owner's Box with Billy Koch where they do go through and do a contender-pretender thing. We're not going to steal that gimmick. We're going to talk about this year's Kentucky Derby. I'm so excited for it. It's great to have a May Derby with fans back. Hopefully the horse first past the post will keep the race this year. Wouldn't that be nice? And that would be actually for the first time in 4 years that we have sort of a traditional Derby winner. Who's it going to be? That's what we're here to find out. And we're going to bring in for his initial thoughts on the Kentucky Derby first from our sponsors, our hosts today, Medallion Racing and TaylorMade, Philip Shelton. Just, you know, give us the top line. Oh, yeah. Give us the top line. Who's going to win the Kentucky Derby?
I think this is a great version of this race. I think you have a bunch of horses that have run fast enough numbers to win. It looks like the pace is going to be pretty honest. You know, since they've gone to the point system, the early pace in a lot of these races has really been relatively slow. You've had, you know, the last two Derby winners, Authentic and Medina Spirit, who was first past the post, both were gate to wire winners.
Max Security too. Speaking of first pass, yeah, so three
yeah.
in a row.
So yeah, three in a row. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think selfishly, We Stand not this time. So if Epicenter Bloodstock Investments actually owns the mother of Simplification, so
the home team picks.
Yeah, I have a couple of Derby futures to Epicenter. So if he like, what I'd say is I have enough that I don't have to bet him on Saturday if he wins.
An enviable position.
I'm going to win plenty of money. I defaulted to Mo Donegal. I think a lot of people are like, you know, do you worry about the one post? And I'd say absolutely not. The new gate, you're not breaking inside of the rail. All of the question marks about him are, is he going to get a clear trip? Is he 2-1 paced? All those things have zero to do with post one. He's going to have to navigate a trip, whether he breaks in post one or post eight. He's going to have to prove he's not just a completely one-paced horse. The only thing you would say is, you know, looking at some of his earlier races, he doesn't have to be dead last. And maybe with post one, he's going to be further back than what you would like. But to me, he just feels like a horse that's going to love a mile and a quarter. He had no business, I thought, winning the Wood Memorial early voting, just absolutely cleared. You know, Zandon is probably going to be the favorite. I think we'll get to him in a minute. But they were head-to-head as a two-year-old. And I just think his price is actually going to go up because of the rail draw. The one thing I would say, and I think we might get to this in a minute if some people down the panel like the favorite, I think one thing about the Derby is you're automatically going to get value. Now, you may not get it on the win end, but any other bet you make, there's significant value if you hit. So if you have a really strong opinion, you say, you know what, I think Epicenter can't lose, or I think Zandon can't lose, and you can key in on a couple of horses underneath, you're going to get a significant payout. So for me personally, I just don't love either one of those horses enough where I want to take something that's really short. And I like Mo Donegal enough to where I want to play. But I think I've been the victim sometimes of trying to create too much value in the Derby with a horse on top instead of just saying, hey, it's staring me in the eye that this horse is probably going to get loose. They might just be better than everybody else. How can I create value another way than on top? And the Derby is the best race all year to do that because you have 20 betting interests. So I think that's just something. If you really like Zandon or you really like Epicenter, you say, ah, you know what, Mattress Mack bet Zandon. Mm-hmm. He's going to be 5-2. I don't really want 5-2. Well, you might look at the exact payouts, and you're going to get way more value if you hit that. So to me, I landed on Mo Donegal. I think as we get further, I can talk about other horses I like, but sure, that would be my top.
Let's do a tangent before I ask other picks about the rail and Mo Donegal specifically. Michelle, how much of a problem do you think the rail is for this horse?
I don't think it's a problem at all. The rail is technically the shortest way around the track. So knowing that he's a come-from-behind horse, I think that he breaks wherever he wants to break, and then he ends up wherever he wants to end up. I think traditionally, if you go back and watch the race, the rail has not been a bad place to be. If your rider is bold enough to make the move on the rail, a hole will generally open up. So I think that if Irad Ortiz really plays that square, when they turn for home, if he's within striking range, he's going to have an ultra long stretch and he's going to have clear space to be able to come up. And we've seen that rail play extremely well. So I actually think of all the horses that could have drawn the rail, he probably has the best chance to win from that particular spot.
I agree. The running style and Irad Ortiz, who professional horse player Sean Borman had pointed out in conversation, Irad rode the rail last year with this new configuration and starting gate, might have picked up a couple things from there. I'm not too worried, and whatever difficulty it might cause him, I feel like you're going to get compensated in terms of your price. He's my top selection as well. I'll just say it. I'm on this horse in futures. I feel like that value's probably gone. I thought I was clever getting 14-1, thinking he could become a talking horse. Instead, he really wasn't talked about this week and then drew the rail. He'll probably be 14-1 or higher on the day. But I still really like him. I'm sticking with him. Do you have a contrarian idea? Do you think the rail's a problem, or are we a chorus about that?
No, I mean, I think four horses can win this race. I think Mo Donegal is one of them. I get it. The rail is not what it used to be. Like, it's not as big of a problem as it was. But from a horse that's going to come from out of it, if you close your eyes and you look through the race, he's going to have to kind of like, he's got to break away from there. He's got to hope that horses don't come over on him. Then when they pass
you... No horses are going to come over on him. He's on the rail. Everyone wants to get to the rail. As much as you complain about being on the rail, every horse, the horses in 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 want to get to the rail.
I was awful in geometry. Awful. I barely went. I faked it. The lady, I cried one day, and the lady was like, oh, he's a nice kid. I'm going to pass him. But if you're on a rail and you're going this way and you have 19 horses to the outside, if they come over on him...
Jonathan's gesticulating wildly if you're just listening to this. There's no question it can become a cavalry charge, and it can be a problem. Isn't it more of a problem for a not that fast speed horse than it is for a true closer? Now,
like
Michelle,
I
thought the best gesticulating I was going to see today was Michelle doing shadow puppets.
I cheated in geometry. There's a very nice woman. She had red hair. She was very nice.
I mean, if we're here and we both want to get back to the pad... I mean, we're not staying like this and winning, right?
This conversation would work better with graphics.
My example was so much better than that one. But basically, like I said, close your eyes. He breaks.
I can't close my eyes and still see your hands.
Okay, that's fine. Here's what I'll say. If Mo Donegal wins, which he absolutely could, the question that I think a lot of people can't answer right now, like fully and honestly, will be answered on Saturday, that Irad Ortiz is the best rider in the country. If he works out a trip on this horse from that position, and the horse is good enough, the horse will take him there. It's on Irad. If he can navigate from the inside and save ground on the first turn, then pop out and find his way out, and then make that run that you guys have both mentioned, or everyone's mentioned, Irad will go down as the best rider of this situation that we're dealing with now.
I would like to replace him with Calvin Burrell for this race.
Yeah. So my only thought is I don't think it matters where he drew. Like the one to me, I'm more in your idea that you have 19 horses coming over. If you want to be 14th, you may not have the option to be 14th. You might be 18th because everybody else has dictated to you.
I completely agree.
And to be clear, if he was a tactical horse, then this problem that I've been illustrating is not a problem, because he's getting, like, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, when we get to Epicenter. Epicenter's basically in the same post, but Epicenter's tactical, so he can get his position moving forward, which Richie Migliori always says, get your position moving forward. Just McGonigal's going to just be slowly taking back, and then he's going to have a bunch of just shuffling and
he's at the mercy of other horses. What I would say for me, Epicenter drawing in three is a lot worse than McGonigal drawing in one.
I tend to agree, and not many people are seeing it this way. Philip, explain why you think that is.
I don't, because Epicenter can get himself out of that problem.
Yeah, and
come
he
on,
might.
JK's
and he,
team, we're drawing a line.
He has enough. So what I would say is, I think he can still win. I would fall into JK's camp. I think there are like four horses or five horses potentially that can win the race. The rest of it is how does everyone else. At the end of the day, in a 20-horse field, you have to get incredibly lucky. I don't care who you are. Like, you have to have a lot of things break right. You could argue last year, you know, that Brad's horse was the best horse in the race. He was the favorite. He ended up
essential quality.
I was drawing a blank. And, you know, he really didn't have that many things go bad. He was just really four wide the whole way around. And the winner was Gates of Wire. He didn't break great. And he got
just wasn't as good
bit.
As Medina Spirit.
But, right, Medina
His
Spirit with Gates of Wire, Mandaloo.
Oh, stop bragging, Michelle.
Mandaloo.
We all know you picked
Medina. No. As a throwback, Michelle made the case for Medina Spirit, said, here's exactly what's going to happen. We said, who do you pick? She said, essential quality. So she didn't pick Medina Spirit. She gave us why he can win.
I was going to let her have that one. But that's the point why I think it's tricky for him. I just think that's a little bit, it's not a death knell to his chances, but I think it forces his hand.
So
and I think if he breaks slowly, it's
to play on what JK said earlier, really the key factor is how you draw in relation to the other speed horses. Epicenter has a lot of early speed. He's drawn directly inside of the horse that could be on the early pace. So in my mind, he doesn't have as many options as he could have otherwise. Now, he has enough speed. Do you let that horse clear and then try to see where you are? Do you just try to send it? I mean, if you have any speed, you have to be aggressive early in the Derby. You can't just hold and see what happens.
Yeah, so, I mean, Joe, if
do you think he has to go to the lead, JK, or
no,
do you think he
no,
can?
No,
no,
but Joe,
he's
got to
be smart.
It's a long run.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I think Joel is outstanding. But if I could pick a top rider that would take this horse back, it might be Joel.
It would be the
dumbest thing he's ever done. You have to get your position moving forward, see what happens. But if Joel just kind of flops out of there, finds himself 14th early, Epicenter has no chance.
I worry with Summers tomorrow to the outside, like Philip said, and then a bunch of horses on the outside who have to gun, that he has no choice but to hammer and tongs it. And maybe you think that's a good thing.
No, but because it's 20 horses and it's a long run to the first turn, it all sorts itself out. If you just pop away from there, and I've never sat on horseback except for one time in the Bahamas, and it was horrible.
Puerto Vallarta, we've talked about this on the show before.
That was a good one. The last time we went, it was horrible. If you just pop away from there and get your position moving forward, it'll all unfold. You know, Taiba might go, and then Summers tomorrow doesn't break, and next thing you know, Epicenter's sitting right outside second. You know, it can all unfold, but you got to.
Yeah.
If he takes back, he's in trouble.
I completely agree with that. I think he has to be top five early just with the inside draw.
I think a lot of riders will think, like, we'll play the break, and you'll hear trainers say that in interviews, we'll play the break. I think in this case, you're right, that Joel needs to be committed to the send to go. It's like when you're playing Gallop Racer, not you because you suck it when I play against you, but everybody else that plays Gallop Racer, you want to hit the little button right in the middle and you gun out of the gate, even if you have a come from behind horse. You establish your position. And then if Summers tomorrow's outside of you, but you're already here, then he either has to use extra to get around you or he's got to check and go behind you. Now, once he's out in his established position and everyone's find their spot, that's when you can be like, okay, buddy, easy up. But I think that Joel has to be committed to the send from the go.
Michelle, who wins the Kentucky Derby?
Epicenter, sired by Not This Time, standing at Taylor Made.
Love it. Are you fully committed? Do you have other horses? You know, these guys both say, oh, there's four that can win, et cetera. Give me your short list for the race.
Okay, I do agree that there are other horses that can win. I'm on the Mo Donegal bandwagon, especially because I picked him in our fantasy horse racing, and I really need him to win a big race. I think that Charge It stands a good chance to be able to run really well if he can put things together.
One of the better pedigrees in the race, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
Care about things like that.
I also think Cyberknife can absolutely win this race. I have him in the futures at 50-1.
Jonathan, are you okay? You looked a little green there for a second.
No, I'm just going to be honest. I did this a couple years ago when we did it. There's an owner that
he's not going to spend money with us, is he? If not, say what you want.
Can't root. I love Brad Cox, just to be fair. But I can't.
Now, JK doesn't know how horses look when they work. He's self-professed that. He doesn't know how to look at a horse. I just want anyone that also feels that way to go back and watch Cyberworks' last work, 6 furlongs and 111 under a hold. That was a beautiful work. So if anyone wants to sound smart but you don't know what you're talking about, be like, oh, I loved Cyberworks' last work. You will sound like a genius because you will be 100%
I was going to let it
right.
go the first if you just did it once, but Cyberworks, Cyberknife.
Did I say Cyberworks? Oh, twice. Sorry. You know what? These Kentucky bourbon barrel are way more potent, apparently, than the champagne I normally drink.
There you go.
I have one complaint. There's no champagne.
Who do we know?
Yellow
right?
Label,
hey, come to Ascot. There's plenty of champagne.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll oh, my gosh. Can I tell you an Ascot story real quick? Yeah. I was at Ascot, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what should I get? Oh, champagne, of course. And we went to the Tattinger booth, and I was like, it's like $80. Why is it so much? I'm like, one champagne, please, thinking, like, I'm not going to be able to have fun today at all. And they gave me champagne in a bag, a whole bottle in a plastic bag with ice. I was like, this is what you get? Excellent. I like this place a whole lot more now. I'm surprised you're not a member at this point based on that.
I'm taking a dim view of the Arkansas Derby as
Why?
A race. Because it's slow as heck.
So I felt like the Florida Derby, they came home really slow also. My thing with Cyberknife is I feel like we've always known he's got talent. He's just a naughty horse. His last two races, Al Gold told me that Brad changed the blinkers as well as the bit. Now, because I'm a stalker and I'm obsessed with bits, I have been taking pictures of him working in the mornings beforehand. I have all these pictures of like different bits that he's been wearing. And then today I went to Pinkston's to go and try to find the exact bit he was wearing to see like what kind of a difference that would make. This is a much better bit. This is actually
You're much sicker than I realized.
I feel now. I tried to text Brad all this, and he like was like, "What is wrong with you?" and didn't answer me about it. So I can't actually verify this. But looking at the bits, it does look like he's gone with this like straight mouth, square jaw, which is going to help keep his horse straight. And I think that's the key. This horse is just mentally needed to evolve to catch up with his physical abilities. I think he stands an absolute chance in here. If he can mind his manners anywhere close to how he acts in the mornings, solid contender for the win. Love to get him at 20-1.
If you can find a bit that makes a horse run 15 points faster, I think we could go into business
this,
here, Michelle.
Okay, this one right here is actually really cool, too, that I saw. No one uses this, but this is really neat.
JK, you said four horses can win this race. You've identified Mo Donegal as one of them. Who are the other three, and why is your top pick Zandon?
Yeah, Epicenter can win, and I also think Taiba can win, too. I mean, I don't care about all the stats. You know, they're only important until they're not important anymore. We saw that with Justify. But I've one of the fun things about Derby Week is all the workouts and all the work stuff. And there's a lot of people that don't know what they're talking about when they watch works. And there's people that
Did you give me a side eye there?
Not you. There's a lot of people that know, and there's a lot of people that don't. One thing that I've paid attention to as I've become a fan of this game and been more involved is when they work well here, they run well. Especially, you know, because they're all good. They're all leading into this moment. I remember all of the great workouts I've heard about. Rachel Alexandra, Barbaro, Animal Kingdom, American Pharoah.
Mandaloon was a horse like that.
They show up, they work, and they work well, they run well. So I'll pause and then back up. The morning of October 9th, I haven't said this story to anywhere, and I don't think Chad will be upset, but the morning of October 9th, I was riding to the racetrack. I was working at Belmont that day, and I was riding to the racetrack with Chad. I was lucky. I was like, yeah, I need to ride. I rode, and we were in the car, and I said, hey.
Tell the truth. You were his Uber driver.
Exactly. I said, hey, you like your horse in the fourth? He said, the horse is really talented, but I'm not 100% sure yet. That day, Zandon got stuck on the inside in behind horses and ate a ton of dirt and then went on to win. And then the horse worked after that, and Chad said, this is my Derby horse. As soon as he told me that, I called everyone I know with a 702 area code. If you don't know what that is, then you don't gamble very much. People. Las Vegas. And I got Zandon at 100-1. And I followed him, obviously, because I had that interest, that rooting interest of this Chad telling me that this is my Derby horse. Not saying he's going to win, just saying this is my Derby horse. And so then he lost to O'Donegal in a race where he probably should have been put up. There was interference in that race and whatever. I like O'Donegal too, so I'm not... I just, you know, you obviously kind of hype yourself up about the horse. But now I have the comfort of hearing how well the horse is working. And hearing it from people who I respect immensely saying that the horse is working well. Not Twitter telling me the horse looks amazing.
The horse is working really, really well.
And so... I am very excited about watching the horse one.
Can I tell you what I love about his work?
I'll be alive to those four horses that I mentioned in the picks.
We'll come back you know. And do a second on Taba, but go ahead, Michelle.
I just want to tell you what I love about his work. The way this horse works is so easy, and a lot of times when horses get out there, they want to work, and they're aggressive, and they don't listen, or they do something bad. This horse, every time he works, goes out there, he is so kind. His rider goes, oh, a little faster, and he picks it up, and the rider goes, oh, slow down, and he slows it down. He has his ears twitching constantly. He is like controlled dynamite. Like sometimes there's like kids holding dynamite, and you're like, oh, no, that's bad. This is like a bomb guy, like fully trained, and his like this horse just knows what his job is. I love a professional horse. This horse just exudes professionalism in the mornings, and it makes him a real joy to watch.
JK made the point about not caring about the stats about Taba. I agree, and I also think he is just going to get an absolutely ideal setup. This is a horse who is just so fast. He's not my key in the race, but I'll be using him everywhere. I'm a guy who looks at the world through the lens of speed figures. Taba's got them. I'm very curious, though, to see if Philip or Michelle, either of you, has a dissenting opinion on this horse.
I actually have a great story that's in kind to JK's story. I was in Saudi this year, and we were talking to Amr Zidane, who obviously owns Taiba, but he owned Medina Spirit from last year. And he goes, Michelle, I'm going to win the Kentucky Derby this year. And I was like, oh, with who? I couldn't think of any horse off the top of my head that he had. And he was like, he hasn't run yet. His name is Taiba. And I'm like, it is February. Your horse hasn't run, and you're telling me he's going to win the Kentucky Derby. Okay. So that's fine. I took it with a grain of salt. And the first thing I did when I got home was I pulled up all of his workouts because he's been working since they spent $1.7 million on him a long time ago. We have like 100 workouts. And I thought to myself, someone has pulled the wool over your eyes, Amber. You have no idea what you're talking about. This horse is the worst workhorse. Like, there is not... So come debut day, even though I had this birdie in my ear saying, this horse is going to be great. Oh, did I bet him? No. I'm like, that horse you can't even use. And he obviously ran off the screen. In between his maiden breaker and this Santa Anita Derby, he only worked twice. And it was not a good work again. I watched him work, and I'm like, oh, not again. And then he won again. And now he's worked one time. Well, actually, he had a blowout today. So now again, two times between the Santa Anita Derby and the Kentucky Derby. And like his last work on April, it was a bullet on paper that seems good. If you watch the work, you're like, oh my gosh. Now knowing him, it's fine because he obviously runs better than he works. But I thought for sure someone was lying to him that he had the Derby winner. Now that I've seen him run, he might be right.
Are you with or against, like, on your tickets? Or you haven't decided yet? It's the final answer show. You need to have a final answer. We can ask Philip why you think you could call your lifeline.
I'm going to use him.
Okay.
But I'm not going to, like, have him...
Use, don't keep. That's where I am, too. I still worry about this whole... The owner picked the spot in the Santa Anita Derby thing, catching up to him. I mean, you've been around horses a long time, Philip. What usually happens when the owner overrules the horseman?
Yeah, we have a relationship with Amr, so I've talked to him many times.
Did he tell you the same thing?
Yeah, we had conversations with Frank before, like, what, you know, he said, hey, my whole goal is to get to the Derby. And he said, I can be more conservative and go in the Lexington, or, you know, and I said, hey, if your whole goal is to get to the Derby, the only way you can get there is by going in the Santa Anita Derby, and he won a grade one. I think that's the other thing. When you have these colts, if you can win a grade one, you're a stallion, so there's significant upside, not only making the Derby, but you have to use them. I think Matt Bernier had done some research on horses that had run multiple triple-digit buyers going into the Derby. and the statistics for horses hitting the board was, like, overwhelming. I would agree with you. I think he could end up getting a really good trip. I think it was really nice. His first start around two turns showed he doesn't need the lead. The back of my mind, I'm just like, this is such a huge ask. But so was last time, because it looked like Forbidden Kingdom and Messier were two of the top contenders for the Derby. Forbidden Kingdom didn't work. I actually think Messier is very interesting in here, too. I think he could end up tripping out. So in my mind, you know, I think you have to use him, because on talent, he's as good as anything in the race. But to me, it's going to be Mo Donegal, Zandon, Epicenter, Messier, and Tyba. And I'm going to play through those five. I'm going to focus my betting on Mo Donegal and probably Zandon just because of the pace. I think one – I'll make one more point, and then
Please.
I'll turn it back to you.
No, you actually answered my next question. You're helping me
I think one thing that's really interesting, if you compare, like, Zandon and Mo Donegal, because they're both – this year at least have been closers. The one thing that makes me really nervous about Zandon is that he's not a good gate horse. And he could also not, if he doesn't break, then he could be way further back. The one thing I think that's different about Zandon and Mo Donegal, Mo Donegal has to get in the clear, right? He's like this grinder, like he's just eating up ground. Zandon has a turn of foot. They're like a different kind of closer. Like Zandon actually wasn't that far back in the bluegrass. He just didn't get a hole. He got shoveled back. And then it felt like in a 16th of a mile, he opened up. And I don't know that he also has to be that far back. As a 2-year-old, he wasn't as far back early. He just makes me nervous. Like, I would have made him my top pick, knowing I'm taking a short price, if he didn't have issues in the gate. That just makes me nervous. Sure. That he could be further back. And then I'm just thinking, hey, he's going to have to work his way through 15 horses, just like Mo Donegal is. I think they're somewhat similar, except Mo Donegal is going to be 5 times the price as Zandon. That's the only caveat I would say.
This into your final answer, JK. I'm going to holding fees to the file either for a play or a top three or do it.
No, Phillip's point is interesting. Like, they are both closers. But I think based on the draw, if you do that thing that hasn't worked so far when I try to say it, but close your eyes and you look at the first run of the first turn, the run of the first turn, I think Mo Donegal is going to have to navigate 15 horses. I think Zandon's going to have to navigate 9.
But give up a bunch of ground.
But if you have the good animal, then give up the ground instead of getting stopped.
And that
right?
doesn't always matter at Churchill. Churchill's a weird track where you can sometimes be 4 wide, and it's the same as being around the rail. I can't really explain it to you, but we see that a lot around here where ground loss isn't really that big of a problem.
So my final answer is, obviously, I'm rooting for Zandon for personal reasons, but I also think that I always, if anyone tells me, it's why I had Mandaloon last year. I didn't cash, but I had Mandaloon involved in my picks. If I hear from the people that I respect that they're working well at Churchill, they're in. I'm using them. And so obviously, with my interest in Zandon, I'm rooting for Zandon. And I will be picking him and betting around him. And Chad's going to win one of these.
Are you using the Japanese horse then?
No.
We'll get to that. Talk about him. He's coming up in the question.
But I think final answer-ish, if it wasn't for my position on Zandon, I would be a Taiba guy.
All right.
Because I'm a speed figure person first and foremost. The horse is meant to improve.
If I made you pick a top three.
Oh, Zandon, Taiba.
Epicenter by Not This Time standing at TaylorMade?
Yeah, Epicenter. Probably Epicenter, honestly. But I'm not no feet to the fire. I need Mo Donegal too.
There you go. For me, yeah, Mo Donegal and Zandon, they're the keys. I'm going to mix it in. I'm just going to give numbers for the sake of time. Then we'll let you expound a little bit, Michelle. And then we've got like 4 minutes questions, and then we're out of here. For me, it's 110 with 3, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 in this year's Kentucky Derby. I'll flip that as well. 3, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 with 110. Michelle, give us your final answer, your overview of your either a play or your top three in the Derby.
Oh, and, go to JK first. I have to pull it up because it's all the numbers.
He did.
Right
he did. Doing. He okay, he did it already. Then. He did it too.
That's
we're
what JK
waiting
said.
On you, but that's okay. I
can. Well, I already gave my top pick.
I'm very good at filibustering. I just wanted your like overview of numbers. You know,
so
final
my Derby, I'm doing 1-3, 10-15-16 over 1-3.
All right, that works. That definitely works. We have a few questions. One of them is about this Japanese invader, Crown Pride, who's gotten so much attention this week. Michelle, you brought him up, so I'll throw this one to you. The Japanese have had such an amazing run of success internationally in horse racing. I think we can all agree.
as many great accomplishments as they've had, I don't feel like any of them would be as amazing as if they come here and successfully plunder America's most famous race. Does Crown Pride have a shot, Michelle?
I was kind of down on Crown Pride. I was not overly impressed by this UAE Derby. No horse has come out of the UAE Derby to win the Kentucky Derby. It was a deep track that day. He looked laborious in it. I just wasn't a big fan. I didn't know how he was going to handle the track over here, because when they train in Japan, they train over so many different surfaces, but none of them is like Churchill, which is a little bit firmer and a little bit quicker. And so I thought that his particular training suited the UAE Derby really well. Now, he's come over here, and after a little mental snafu where he hung a left out of the starting gate one morning, he's actually been training really well. His gallops are really spirited. His last works were great. He had a work on April 27th that was 46 and change effortlessly. He actually worked again this morning, another half mile in 46 and change, and Christophe Lemaire was aboard, and you could see he was just sitting chilling, not asking this horse. This horse wanted to do as much as he did. He probably would have done more. I love the fact that he ran twice at two, going 9 furlongs, and was a winner. If I like narrowed my eyes to this horse 3 weeks ago, I would have told you he could come in last. And now watching him work, he's like kind of growing on me. I don't think that he could win, but I think if you're playing supers, he can certainly fill a spot.
Hard to argue with that. Next question that came in, and this one I'm going to let everybody answer. One, and we're going to keep it to one here. One interesting long shot to mix in. Philip, we'll start with you.
I think simplification is interesting. I'm going to go to a similar theory that I had with Venti Valentine. I think this horse is just better from off the pace. He won the Fountain of Youth. It was a weird race. But I think he also has a little bit of a turn of foot. Last time he did all the dirty work. He moved early when Classic Causeway just unexpectedly backed out. He took pressure every step. And he really fought on pretty well. White Abario in charge, it just kind of took advantage of that scenario. I think he's going to be sitting in probably mid-pack. The biggest question I have is I don't know if he wants to get a mile and a quarter. He's got a really deep female family that says he probably could get the mile and a quarter. He's just a horse, I think he's going to be a big price, and he's going to get a way different trip than what he got in the Florida Derby. In general, I'd probably be against most of the Florida horses, but I just think he could end up tripping out where, again, I do think there's going to be a fair amount of speed. So I think when you're looking underneath third and fourth, what I would tell you, it's hard for me to make a case if you wanted to bet a super and you wanted to throw somebody in fourth. I just say good. You don't even have to tell me what the horse it is, because I just think that's the way the Derby runs historically. So in my mind, he's a horse I think that could get underneath. And if I wanted to really play Mo Donegal and key him around horses, he would be one I'd add on top of the main contenders.
Everybody's got stories about talking to horsemen and about their horses in this year's Derby. I got one too. I do agree with you that simplification's interesting, and honestly, I might have talked about him had you not. But instead, I'll talk just a little bit more about Charge It, who, as we talked about before, might have the best pedigree of any horse in this race, being by a superstar sire Tappet, who's won just about every race in America outside of the Kentucky Derby and comes from a really strong female family as well. My personal story is just having Todd Pletcher on our Gulfstream Park Players podcast before Charge It ever ran. And, you know, he didn't come out and say, this is my Derby horse, but he just spoke about him in such glowing terms that he was very much on the radar for this race. I just think he is better than he showed the last day when he didn't break and showed a lot of toughness and obviously was very green in the lane. But, you know, these Tappets, they have a reputation for getting better with time and distance. Charge It gets both today from Todd Pletcher, 20-1 plus. That's an interesting long shot to me. Give me an interesting long shot, JK.
Yeah, well, you stole my interesting long shot. So.
He stole mine. I stole yours. You can steal hers.
No, I do. Same things. I agree. Charge It, for sure. But the other one I was going to talk about, I probably wouldn't have got to, so it probably works out, as the 19 Zozos. I don't have the stat because I've kind of gotten over, like, yelling stats at people. I don't know. Well, 17 out of the last, you don't care. Horses that make the lead at the eight pole in the Kentucky Derby win the race a lot or run well. Yeah. And I think Zozos is going to be very close has a chance to be very close at the eighth pole. So at 20-1 on the morning line, those will probably drift up. I love the outside draw for a horse with his style. He'll stay clear. He's not going to have any trouble. He'll just be out there. He might be four wide, but he doesn't have to be four wide. You know, just kind of gallop around there and run fourth and blow up your super. I don't think this is, for me, this is not a super race because there's no standouts. It's a lot of, like, even the underneath horses, when I started to kind of go through it, are all the same horses. Mm-hmm. Simplification is the exact same horse as Tawny Port, who's the exact same horse as Pioneer Medino's the same horse as Crown Pride. There's Messier, and I just, they're all the same to me, so I won't be playing the Super this year. I mean, I would encourage you to do it if you have an opinion. I'm not gonna, but for me, I do think that Zozos is interesting with that draw.
We've got just 2 minutes left. One of them I need to do the thank yous and the credits. The other goes to Michelle for her interesting long shot.
Cyberknife.
Yeah, he counts, and you already talked about him. So, yeah, that actually allows us to speed things
along.
Let
me say one more thing.
Oh, Phillip's got something for us.
Again, just to reiterate, we didn't have enough time to get to it, but I think, like JK said, in these big, like, marathon weekends, right, you have two huge days on Friday and Saturday, you have to figure out what your budget is, and the last thing you want to do is feel like, man, the two horses I really liked won, and I got knocked out in the pick five. I have nothing going. And the trap is being involved in too many races. You don't have an equal opinion in every race. And you're going to get more value on these big days like the Belmont, Derby, Breeders' Cup than you are any other time of the year. You have to make your strong opinions count. And I think even if your strong opinion was Zanin, it's like maybe you're keying him on top in a try, you're keying him in second in a try, you're keying him in third in a try, or whatever it is. But figure out who you like and then base your whole gambling weekend around them, because you don't, this type of pool size and handle and payouts, it happens four times a year. And the last thing you want to do is feel like, man, I actually had pretty good opinions and I lost $500. And unfortunately, I can speak from personal experience, that's not fun.
No, not fun at all. Next year, we do a whole betting strategies podcast for the Derby. I actually think it's a great topic, but we are out of time. That's going to do it for this edition of the In the Money Players Podcast. Lots of thank yous, especially the team at Medallion and TaylorMade. Molly, who did such a great job putting this event together. Phillip, who is our rock star. Eric and the AV team rocking and rolling over there. Producer Craig from afar. We appreciate you all very much. Our founding partners, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and 10 Strike Racing. We appreciate them too. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatal. May you win all your Kentucky Derby photos. It's boozing time.